Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, he will. Oh, yeah. Jesus loves me. Even me, Lord, Lord, even me, oh Lord, when I passing out blessings, oh Lord, leave it
Live Network, your transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, and I would like to welcome you to Wounded No More with Prophetess Vanessa Carver for this Thursday, February the 25th, 2021. And now, here's your beautiful host and facilitator, our very own Prophetess Vanessa Carver.
Thank you, Bishop. Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here again tonight. I'm doing the Love Platform series. Tonight is going to be a little different, and I'm just thankful for the support. But I'm going to preface this by giving you just a brief summary of the weeks prior that I taught on love. First of all, the first week, which was in January, had to do with my decision about coming up with this, and it was revealed to me in prayer. How God dealt with me, and he took me to 1 Corinthians 13. But he had me focus on one particular phrase, one particular verse. And it was in 1 Corinthians 13, and I think it was verse 4. If you hear me going through my notes, I apologize, because that way I can make sure. It says, if you have all these gifts and these callings, and I'm paraphrasing it, and you have not love, you are a sounding brass and tingling cymbal. Now, many of us are familiar with that, but I just could not get off of that. It kept coming over and over and over, even after I walked away from the text and start doing other things, that scripture would come back to me. And so it means that with all the things that God has called us to, with our assignments and different things, love has to be the foundation. why we do it, when we do it, how we do it. Love has to be there. If it is not there, then it says, you know, in the rest of the scripture, what it is and what it is not, what love is and what it's not. And it really pulled on my heart. So when I presented it, as I went through how it's important to love God, love ourselves, and love others, he began to deal with me also. I'm trying to give highlights from it about how we love each other or lack of loving each other. And that was one of the ways Jesus said that we would know who they would know who we were by how we love each other in the body of Christ. And Bishop Cook was online and she heard me get choked up, and I usually never get choked up when I teach, but it just once again began to radiate inside me how important it is that we love one another. And I think I was coming from a place of sorrow, feeling like that's really not the case. Nevertheless, it just means we just have more work to do, and God has given us the grace to do it. So I began to just chop away at these things that, you know, what is love and what is not. And there was much revelation that God gave me to the point where these are things that were on my heart all week until I prepared for the next week's teaching. He began to deal with me about our capacity to love and what things get in the way of us loving, and what things we go through to enhance us to love, to believe, to trust God.
Prophetess Vanessa.
And that was a really good teaching because it showed, you know,
she
there
must
was
be,
a,
I'm sorry, Prophetess must
a
be having technical difficulties. There you go.
Sorry. Sorry if I'm going in and out. But he also gave me about how it's a strain sometimes for us to love, but that's part of it. And I think that sometimes there's actual Greek word that means to strain and under pressure to love. And that's what it feels sometimes when you are loving sacrificially. This is what you go through. These are the things that you deal with. It's less of self and more of God in you coming out. So I talked about that, but it's really important that we understand there's so many dimensions to our love walk, but it's not complicated at the same time because it's all in his word. So last week, the week before, I taught about the capacity to love. And then last week I taught, or the week before last, I taught about loving in dark places, which also got a little bit too, because I began to share with everyone different examples of, like, from Mother Teresa to Corrie Ten Boom. I don't know if I had mentioned her. I had definitely had it down in my notes about the things that when we're in the places of depression or loss or addiction or abuse or betrayal, whatever it may be, PTSD, loving ourselves, loving others, and letting ourselves be loved by others through Christ in these places. This is what God has given me. This isn't coming off the top of my head. And I realized that we have to learn how to love each other in places of darkness, whether it be our own or somebody else, as servant leaders. Let me preface it. Put that in front, as servant leaders. Servant leaders go through a whole lot. And I think that we have to remember that we get so task-oriented that it becomes very easy for us to compartmentalize things and become just going through the motions. You know what I mean? And love is nowhere not around. You know, also, too, as I was reviewing, it's like, think of the Mary Martha syndrome. One chose the good thing, one didn't, because she was busy trying to serve, but she got so caught up in the task that she didn't sit at the Christ, you know, to hear and to be taught. And her sister chose the best thing, and so we have to always go back to this stuff cannot be taught enough. Every time I teach this or if I, you know, study on my own for my own development, there's always something new that he shows me. And it just depends on where you are in your walk with the Lord, what is being challenged in your life. So tonight, I asked Bishop Cook and told her my idea. And what we're going to do tonight is we're going to talk about the things that get in the way of our love walk, whether it has to do with loving ourselves, okay, loving others, or loving God. And so I wrote down a couple of notes, and one of the things I said was fear, envy, jealousy, unforgiveness, rejection, pride, anger, impatience, the past, sometimes fear of the present, ignorance, and I just said this is not an exhausted list by any means. It's not exhausted, but these are the things I thought of, especially when it comes to fear and pride and rejection. Those are really big ones, and unforgiveness. I could teach those by themselves, fear, unforgiveness, rejection, and pride as it pertains to love. Many times when God is trying to develop our love walk in those areas, those three areas of self, others, and him, these things come up. And so when we determine that our parent, whenever we need to be strengthened in these areas of loving ourselves, others, and God, we'll be sometimes in those categories I mentioned before. And it's a good indicator of where we need to grow, where we need to be developed. I don't think it means that, you know, nothing to get depressed about or get down about. Just understand that wherever there is lack, God is saying, you know, okay, we need to develop this. He's just not going to leave us hanging. But he's gonna bring these things to light. He says, as you know me, you'll know who you are too, and who you're not. So that means if there's anything lacking, if there's anything deficient that could be stronger, he's gonna bring it to light. And especially when it comes to our love walk as leaders, as servant leaders in ministry, loving ourselves. I would say these areas have to do with the will, mind, and emotions. These are areas of the soul. We can talk. That can be a whole lesson. I still have March to complete this series, so that will be areas of the soul and loving yourself in a healthy way. I almost started to teach that today, and it was going to be called Disorderly Love, because sometimes we get really out of whack with the self stuff.
Come on now, that's
and
good.
It's because of society and what society is influencing, but loving others in relationships and social. Right now, the church that I go to, my apostle, he's teaching about relationships, because that can't be taught enough either. Good Lord, it cannot. And then the one about loving God from a spiritual perspective in a healthy way, and just bringing some insight. So I probably will be dealing with that next month, but just bringing some practical insight and hopefully some fresh revelation for us, not because it's hype, not because, you know, we hunger for something new, but maybe something will be broadening our understanding. So I talked to Bishop very briefly before the show and asked her, would she be willing to, and she said yes, willing to interact with me about the things that get in the way. And this is going to be like I'm talking to, she is what I consider her my mentor and definitely overseer, somebody, or a very close friend. And we're just going to be talking back and forth, and she's going to give me some wisdom like she can, as a woman who has been in ministry for a while, on every different aspect that she's talking about. And then we will just bounce off of each other and anybody else that wants to chime in.
Amen. You went out, dear. Amen.
Okay, so Bishop, you can start or you want to begin, but I will just talk about, I will share my story. Sorry, I will share my story first about one of the very first things that I realized was a deterrent to my love walk that God made very apparent, and it was unforgiveness.
Uh-huh. Yes.
It was for unforgiveness, and it had to specifically do with my marriage and my family. So it's usually, in my case, it always hits very, very close. So I can't be in denial about, oh, I don't know what you're talking about, that was so long ago. No, it's usually something that is fresh, something that I'm interacting with these people on a regular basis, you know, that he's showing me I have unforgiveness in my heart, and it's getting in the way of my love walk towards them and all this. And so he began to deal with me about forgiveness and forgiving myself, believe it or not. So
yeah,
it was hard for me to forgive myself, and you know, because of that, it was hard for me to forgive others. You know, not everybody, but certain ones. And then it was difficult. What I didn't realize later is I had even issues with God. I hadn't forgiven him.
Uh-huh.
I was holding stuff in my heart towards him, and
Lord,
I didn't even know that was there. So how, you know? He said, I know you didn't know because your unforgiveness blinds you.
Mm-hmm,
you have tunnel vision. All you're thinking about is yourself and what somebody did. So that was one of the things that he had to start chipping away at for me, Bishop.
Amen.
And he is unforgiveness.
Amen. Well, another one that is a big deterrent to loving others is fear. You know, people are afraid to love because they're afraid of being hurt. So they don't love. Hello?
Can you hear me? Technical difficulty. Hello?
Okay, can you hear me now? Oh, Lord. Okay.
Hello?
I don't know.
I can hear you.
Okay, just continue.
I can hear you now. I don't know what happened.
Okay.
Something just blocked out.
Okay.
Okay.
There's something going on with the phones, but the devil is a lie. But one of the other things that keep us from loving others is our fear. You know, perhaps we've been hurt, so now we're afraid to love. We're afraid of being rejected. So we just feel like if we close down and we don't express any love towards others, we won't be hurt. But, you know, perfect love casts out all fear. So fear is a big reason that people just won't love. You know, and with good reason. You know, especially in the body of Christ, they go into many go into the churches looking for the love of God. They're looking, they're looking to feel accepted and brought in and covered. But many times that's not what they get. So now, you know, after doing that for so many times at so many different churches and getting the same result, a lot of people are just afraid to extend themselves. They're afraid to say, you know what, I love you. You know, you're a wonderful person, or, you know, or they haven't, they're afraid to reach out because they haven't received the love and they don't know how to give it. You can't give what you don't have inside of yourself. You know, that's one, I know that's a reason why a lot of people, you know, they just won't love because they've been hurt. So they're scared to love. You know, it's like, no, I don't want to be hurt anymore. You know, so I'm going to let Deacon Isabel and Evangelist Michelle get in on this too. So Deacon Isabel, you give us a reason why some people don't love.
Oh, it's a good question. I was thinking about how I've heard people say, "Well, I'm in a relationship. I'm in a love hate relationship," and I have to kind of laugh to myself. Well, what is it? Do you hate to love or do you love to hate? You know, if you're in a relationship, you know, hate really shouldn't enter into it. And if there is hate, you most definitely need to reevaluate it. Many of the things you mentioned before, depression, trust issues, a lot of things come up with why people are afraid to love or to give completely of themselves to love. But continue on. I'm enjoying the message very much. Thank you.
Amen. Evangelist Michelle, do you want to share a reason why some people don't love?
Well, I don't love what I wanted to really comment on, what I don't love is unforgiveness, because I too had battles with a little bit of unforgiveness. And when you spoke about the fear, I didn't love having fear of things of past hurts. And, you know, it can really hurt you when you are in a relationship, when you're in a marriage and you have children and you're holding on to those past hurts. And you're not allowing yourself to love your spouse. And if you have children, and you're not allowing yourself to love your children the way the spouse mm-hmm. and the children really deserve to be loved, because you're missing out on a lot of love that they could be giving back to you.
Yes.
Because they can feel that rejection.
Yes,
you might
yes.
not think that you're putting out those vibes, but your children can feel that even on from infancy. You know, they can feel,
yes.
the babies can feel there's some type of detachment there. And I know that my babies knew I loved them, but I knew that they felt something was kind of off, too,
uh-huh.
especially with my daughter, connecting with my daughter early on. I was going through a lot of emotional things and a lot of pains from being ill and not feeling adequate as a mother and being sick and not wanting, you know, being hurt, being mad at myself, you know, not loving myself
mm-hmm.
and being mad at myself for being the way I was and feeling inadequate. And so I didn't feel that I was worthy. I always wanted a daughter. And getting kind of personal here, I always wanted a daughter. And then I feel like God finally blessed me. And now I'm not, you know, worthy of this blessed gift. And then she attached on to my god sister. And then I had a love hate, you know, that why is she loving my god sister more than me, you know? So I had it from both ends. And now me and my daughter have the most joyous relationship in the world. So, you know, I really dislike I had to go through that. But it taught me a lot. You know, it really taught me a lot, because my daughter did have a little detachment, and now I cling on to her, and we have the best relationship, and I cling on to my husband, because me being in the illness, I thought that, you know, they would detach from me, so I was trying to detach from them, you know, before they got to detach from me. So thank you for the time, Bishop, and thank you, teacher, for their time. Love you both.
You know,
love you.
Bishop, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. One thing, too, is that when you talk about unforgiveness, I think that when you ask God simply, whatever the case may be, it may be anger, it may be unforgiveness, it may be fear, like you were saying, and you get to the end of yourself where you are starting to be able to see the repercussions, like the minister just said. I think it was what she just said was about she saw what she wanted. She didn't even have the capacity. And God began to give her the capacity, but she had to see it first, you know? So I think that we can't, when we begin to ask and just pray or just believe, say, Lord, I need you to help me in this area. I need to forgive, or I want to move past the past, and I want my love walk to be better.
Don't want us to do this tonight.
The devil is busy. Come on, sis.
He is. It keeps popping in and out, doesn't it?
Yes, it is through Blog Talk. It's actually through Blog Talk.
And I was just sharing how it'll bring you to your knees when the Lord begins to show you where your impediments are to love. But it's a good thing, because he's there at the place of your weakest. He will show you why you won't forgive, right? He'll show you why you're afraid, and show you how not to be afraid, and how to renew your mind, and how to push the limits out of your comfort zone. Because until you do that, you'll still have the same results. And I remember one night I was just praying about it, and maybe a couple days later he began to show me about how the lack of love to really love the people that I love that I said I love the most, and yet he showed me myself, and it was not good. It was not good.
Right.
But that was the beginning. I just want to encourage everybody. That was the beginning of me learning to love. He said, "Now listen. He said, you know, you say you love them, but how can you, like you said, how can you really love them when you don't have any love? What are you giving them? What is that then?
Come on.
Well, it's nothing close to what they deserve or what I deserve either. I'm just showing them how to be stuck or have conditional love, right?
Right.
And I said, no, because, Lord, you love me no matter what. So I just need to learn to love the way you love me. And that was my prayer. It was real simple. But it was a cry. It was an outcry. It was such a deep gut thing, you know, on my face.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that to tell people they have to do that. I'm just saying the sincerity. You have to be willing and ready for God to really help you in those areas where you know you lack love, or where there can be an improvement.
Yeah.
He'll show you some things, but he'll help you at the same time. He really
will
help you.
Amen. And we're never supposed to get weary of demonstrating love and doing good. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because, you know, a lot of people, they don't love, they don't demonstrate love because they're tired, Vanessa, Prophetess Vanessa. You know what I'm saying? They have extended themselves, got punched in the face. Extended themselves, got punched in the face. So, you know, after a while, you know, the unforgiveness builds up. It begins the process of the unforgiveness. And then,
yeah.
And the fear,
yeah.
And the doubt. And the devil has a, you know, he can just have a field day.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you know, he can. Because sometimes you just, after a while, people is like, why do I keep banging my head against the wall trying to be loving toward people, and all I get in return is criticism, judgment, people gossiping, you know?
Yeah.
So people get tired.
Yeah.
But the God, word of God says we cannot get weird. We can't, you know, we must love. We must love as he loved us, you know, and it does get hard. But that's where our prayer life comes in. And that's where we connect to the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to give us that kind of love that we need so we can love, can continue to love people. Because it's not easy. Because there's some very mean-spirited, hateful folk up in the church. Now, that's just real.
Yeah, it is. It is.
There's a bunch of condescending, judgmental, hypocritical folk sitting all up in the church.
Spirited. Mm-hmm.
And see, what we got to do is we can't say, well, they don't love me. I don't have to love them. They don't love me. No. See, the Lord is not looking for what they're doing. What he's looking at is our response.
Yeah.
So what we got to remember is we can't go down to their level. We have to lure them up to our level.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we must do. And we must begin to pray. You know, like she said, we got to examine ourselves. When I go up to the Lord, I don't tell the Lord to fix other people. I be begging the Lord to fix me. Because I'm the one with the problem.
Yeah.
Look, I'm the one that wants to punch somebody in the esophagus. You know what I'm saying? I'm just keeping it real. You know, it's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. You know, because some people, you know, they don't even, it's like you said, they get into a pattern of unforgiveness. They get into their pattern of fear. They get into their pattern of distrust. And they don't even realize how bitter and how, you know, how negative they come across to others. And then they get upset because they say, nobody loves me.
Yeah.
You know. So.
I believe, Bishop, that it's still the case, but it's a shame. I think, you know, I was raised in church all my life, and so I remember some of the meanest people, or some of the hurtful, most hurtful experiences came from people in church. That's a shame to say. I feel bad about that, but at the same time, I feel like, okay, God, all that means is that those who really are servant leaders really need to teach more and impart, not just by what we teach and what we do as well. For real. It's like if we can come up with all these different topics about all these things, if we're not teaching love to undergird the things that we're teaching,
all
what is the point?
Yes. My sister, I truly believe this is me. This is my heart. This is my passion. When we lead with Christ, when Christ is our focus, then love will be our focus. Everything I do in all the ministries that I'm involved with is I lead with love. You know, I was telling my sister, Evangelist Michelle, people don't even understand just how much I get into the love. I want you to shine, so I want your music to be right. I don't want to hear any distortion. I want everything to be perfect because I want you to shine for the Lord. And that, and when you lead with love, everything you do is loving, you know, and God blesses you with that love. It just comes flowing right back to you. And so for me, leading with love, hallelujah, no matter what somebody else's intentions may be, can change, literally change the atmosphere.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? We can change the atmosphere.
Yes, I believe that.
You know, I'm telling you, sis, we can do it. We can do it because some folks, you know, they're looking for a reason to be to have a love blocker. You know, they come in with they dukes up. They come in with they blockers up.
They do. Chips on their shoulder. Yeah.
They got a big. You know what? They got a chip bigger than the cross Jesus hung on their shoulder. Okay. So you know, and so a lot of time and a lot of times, like we were saying, unfortunately, you know, that's they've been through some things, some hurt, some pains, and you know, but in the final analysis, we have to be obedient to that word. We have to respond with love. And when people, you know, they might have their blocks up. They might not want to love. Some people don't even know how to love, you know.
That's true.
And we say, you know, they don't know how to love. We ask people to love us and to love a Heavenly Father. Well, maybe those people, some people didn't don't even have a good relationship with their earthly father. So they have no clue how they are to begin to love a father that they can't see.
That's right. And I think that, once again, Bishop, is where our prayer life and our intercession is important in ministry as leaders or those in ministry, because we're asking for something that we don't have. And so I said, Lord, when I started praying, that sometimes I realized I just don't have it. I need it, but I know, Lord, you're the source, and it comes from you. So we have to cultivate that and build that in me, develop that in me. I don't have, for whatever reason, I'm not going to be crying about why I don't have it.
No, I
know
I
don't
have it.
I don't, and I want it, and I need it. So therein starts the simple prayer. And just, I don't have to beg for it. You know that? When you ask
God
for something,
you don't.
You do not have to beg. And I think that I'm not trying to be funny, but I think that sometimes we feel like we got to beg for things. No, when it comes to his will and his purpose, we do not. We just have to ask with a sincere heart and believe. And I'm telling you, he'll flip that script so quick for you. Doesn't mean that overnight you will be able to see it, but he'll start putting things in your life to help you develop. And sometimes some of those things, you'd be like, why I got to do that? Or why is this coming to me? And he's like, I'm developing your love walk. He was saying to me, he said, this is going to help develop your love walk. And I'm like, oh, okay. Sometimes I'd be fine with it. Sometimes I'd be like, I don't want to do this. But I realized he was answering my prayer. He was answering my prayer. You know, and
Amen.
He was like, listen, I will help you do it. I will be here to strengthen you.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like Bishop said, not being tired and weary. And I think that's a perfect example of doing stuff in your own strength, trying to love people from a place.
Come on now.
You don't have it. If you don't have it, that's why you get tired and burnt out. And you know, people get burnt out because they're trying to do something that they can only do it through the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Plus that, they won't, you know, a lot of times people get, they get burnt out because they want all the church folk to love them. You know what I'm saying?
That ain't going to happen.
And I'm saying, so you running around killing yourself, trying to be up in everything, trying to do everything to make these people love you, and all you going to do is work yourself into an early grave. And you know what the sad part about it is? They not even going to regret, you know, they not even going to notice you gone. We don't live for man's love. We live to please God and God
That's
alone.
Right.
Because let me tell you something. Man is fickle. They don't know what they love. We say we love Jesus all the time. Oh, I love Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. But yet we still fall short. Yet, you know, we can still be, you know, carry around grudges. You know, we people in the pulpit with grudges in their heart. How that work?
Yeah,
you
right.
know, and then they
it
teaching other people.
Yeah,
exactly. And then, but they still trying to teach other people how to love, you know, and not even so. And they wonder why people are not being delivered, not being healed, not being restored and transformed. You know,
I think that
we have
when
to,
you talk about. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Precious. Go ahead.
When it comes to the healing aspect of ministry, right? When it comes to transparency and of ministry, that takes love and it takes courage.
Yeah,
you're right. We can't be having like compartmentalizing, living one way and teaching another thing, and it don't apply to you and all this. That's why we got the mess we do now in some circles.
Exactly.
But I realize that, you know, for deliverance. That's a big thing in ministry. And healing is a big thing in ministry. I was thinking about this the other day because I realized that is a labor of love to be able to walk with somebody through some stuff, not just physically, but mentally, emotionally, whatever
mentally,
it is,
emotionally.
Spiritually.
Exactly.
And so you have to love. That love has to come from a place from divine.
Yes.
Knowing that you're right, it's not so that they can love me and accept me and just be so grateful to me, but because God put you in their way and God is giving you the ministry to do. Healing and counseling and different things like that, that's just one aspect. Some people minister to the homeless. Everybody that they minister to is not accepting them. You better believe it. But they were called to do it. Same thing. Somebody, yes.
Oh, go ahead and finish your thought.
No, and I realized that a love is not, it's kind of like what Bishop said, was it's not always a fuzzy thing. And it's not me. We always will feel like doing it, but we got to deal with our own stuff first.
That's right.
And then we'll be love in a more excellent way.
Amen. Oh, go ahead, Deacon Williams. Go ahead now.
I know that, and I am guilty of this myself, and it was pointed out to me years ago by a doctor that I worked with, and that has to do with sarcasm. And I was very good at sarcasm, but he pointed out that sarcasm is a very negative, non-loving expression. And I think people throw that out way too often and don't even think about their sarcastic comments, how hurtful and painful that they can be in a non-loving tradition. And just to repeat, you know, and reiterate on what the bishop said, you know, there are a lot of people who just really don't have a definition of love, that they've never in some ways even experienced it, and many of them grew up in very, very abusive situations, so they just never knew it. And but if you grew up in a family of love, then you should know, and you should do better. So,
amen.
I agree. I like what you said, Deacon Williams, because I think that sarcasm to me, when I hear that, like if you know the person or you've been around the person enough, and you might have known them your whole life, and then there's a phase they go through where you are hearing the sarcasm and the cynicism. That's bitterness. And, it's bitterness, and it's like you look at them and they'll laugh. Everything's a joke, and I'm like, I hear the undercurrent. And you're right. It's very cutting. It's passive aggressive, if you ask me. And we do see that. We see what the kids call it, Bishop. They call it shade. So you
shade.
Know,
they be shading on people. Shade.
Shade. Mm-hmm. Throwing, you know, saying little.
Throwing shade, girl. They throwing shade.
And I can't. I think a lot of that happens on Facebook. I can't stand it.
Me either.
And that is one of those languages, right?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely not love language, but it's one of those languages that letting you know somebody, like he said, they're hurt. Something's going on.
Yeah. And the condescension, that's another one. That just grates on my nerve. You know, especially when you're a woman in ministry, and you get around some of the male preachers that, you know, they have the good old boy mentality.
Yeah.
And they're looking at you like, you know, they expect you to run and get a piece of a pad and a piece of paper and take notes.
Yeah.
You know, that is very hurting, and that if you don't have thick skin, if you are not, or you're not real, you know, kind of wobbly in your faith, they can really hurt you because it's like, why are you here? You know, they're looking down at you like their nose at you like, why are you here? And I look back at them like, you know what? From what I see coming off of you right now, I have more reason to be here than you do, a right to be here than you do.
Because
at least I'm coming here in love. You looking at me like I got something bad on me or something. You know, and I want you to know, we have a love language, but we have a body language as well. Because it's not always what you say, but it's how you say it and how
that's
your
right.
body is speaking while you say it, you know. And so people can, you know, they can express sarcasm through their expression and the way they, you know, the way they act and the way they turn their mouth when they say something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can hear somebody say, praise God, bless their heart. You know that that person means no harm. But then you can hear that same thing come out of another woman's mouth or man's mouth. Bless their heart. Now, that don't sound like no blessing at all to me, does it to you?
No. No. And all those little things that you're talking about are not little. They're big. And God is going to account for our body language, our halo data. That means the stuff on our face. As a love, because I believe that people, it's kind of like what you and Deacon Williams were mentioning, they don't have the capacity, so they come to church, right? Or they interact with people that say they're Christians, and they have a level of expectation. Now, in some cases, it may be a little unrealistic, but I think we can simply love. We can simply be more aware of, you know, Lord, how do I love this person that doesn't even know what this looks like or what it is? They don't. It's foreign to them. So what do I do? And he'll tell you. He'll say, fix your face when you're around them. He'll be like, don't comment about what everybody else is commenting at work or around the, you know, the water cooler. He might say something like that. He says, I know they're watching my life, Lord, but I feel like they're trying to pick my life apart. And God says, forgive them and keep it clean. Don't shuck and jive with all of them. They looking at all of that. But then tell them the truth and love them. You know, some people that I've worked with in the past, they never had nothing bad to say about anybody. And
that's right.
Then there were people that's all they did was talk about everybody. So I said, Lord, you know, he said, it's not hard if you just ask me how to love people that don't know what it is.
Yes.
They have.
Yes.
They don't
Come
trust
on
it.
Now.
And some people don't trust it when they see it.
Okay.
I've had that happen too.
You know what, my sister?
Yes.
You know what, my sister? It's really sad when you demonstrating the love that Christ himself told us to demonstrate, and you're looked at with suspicion,
yeah,
you're looked at with apprehension, mm-hmm, you know, and you're like, what in the world? It's right there in the word, you know. Mm-hmm. No, I don't need, I'm just here because I love you. You don't have anything I want. Everything that I want, my Father God gives me and more. I'm just here because I love you. And they be looking at you sideways. And I said,
oh,
my
yeah.
Lord and my God, it is sad when people are trying to, or living, doing their level best to live the kind of love that you have described and prescribed for us to live, and they don't, they're so jaded, they can't even, they don't even recognize it.
And I think that's where we're coming from a lot, with these different generations and people being raised different ways, or like Deacon said, in homes where there have been lots of abuse and neglect. And so
mm-hmm.
they come in a way, in a place where we can learn how to practically love them. Because he said, no, you don't have to ever give them a Bible scriptures about how you treat them. Like you were saying, how you treat them every day, it's consistent.
Yes, ma'am.
Then if there's opportunity to give them the word, because they know you're a Christian, sometimes they'll ask you. But sometimes they don't want nothing to do with the Bible or nothing to do with anything ministry. But I said, so how do I show them love? One thing I will share with everyone is, this is, I attended probably 2 years ago, it'll be 2 years in the summer, a suicide prevention forum for the LGBTQ community. It was just to understand and to learn. And many things that they do, this organization, Suicide for Prevention in Indiana, they do a lot of, they're trying to hit all these different demographics. So they did one, and it was very well done for the most part. It was really dogmatic. It was a lot of dogma. Propaganda, that's what I'll say. A lot of propaganda. I get that, but it kind of disturbed me that it was so much propaganda. So Faith was twisted up at one point during our different block, different sessions we were, you know. And so I was just sitting at the table by myself, and I was looking down, and I was just like, this is disturbing, God. And I was talking to God, and he was like, it's not for you to agree with. It's for you to understand.
Amen.
Speak,
all right,
understanding
now.
So you can learn to love where people are and take it like
mm-hmm.
that. And he said that
mm-hmm.
throughout the whole day. And it helped me because he said, what you don't realize is, it's like what Bishop said, your body language.
Mm-hmm.
Your body
mm-hmm.
language is saying, don't come over here. You can have a smile on your
right.
face all you want to. And I was just so
Amen.
Convicted. But he said, it's to understand, not to agree. You need to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay. And that's all he said to me throughout the whole conference. And so I prayerfully went back home and just began to say, Lord, just help me to understand to love.
Mm-hmm.
And not judge.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely not judge, and definitely not put
mm-hmm.
them in, you know, like, hey, I love you all the way from over there. Don't come over here, though. That kind of stuff.
Yeah. I don't want that spirit transferring over here.
And see how crazy and stupid that is. But that's what your body is saying, God said, be aware of all that.
Yes, amen.
I was convicted.
You know what helped me, sis? What helped me, the first thing that helped me was, let this mindset be in you that is also in Christ Jesus.
Jesus, yes.
You know, because I like I said, I believe if you lead with love, if you lead with Jesus, if you lead with that, you know, you will understand that our love is not, it doesn't have to be this grandiose thing. Our love can be a smile at a homeless person or a sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Our love can
That's
be demonstrated
right. That's right.
through the way we care, you know, we care for each other. We call and check on each other. You know, our love
mm-hmm.
is demonstrated when we pray for one another. Our love is being demonstrated when we will, you know, just call and encourage one another. You know, it doesn't take You know, you don't have to have, you know, donate billions of dollars to some charity or, you know, build hospitals or, you know, any of that. All you have to do is have the mindset of Christ when you're dealing with other people. And through the Holy Spirit, He will tell you what's going on with them, and you will know how to better, you know, because what we do as servant leaders and what we do as ministers, we want to be effective.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be effective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we need to love people where they're at because Jesus loves us where we are.
That's where we are. That's right. That's it. That's really simple as it is.
It's as simple as that. They can't get no simpler than that.
You know. That's right.
I like what I heard Evangelist Michelle say one time, and I do it all the time. They'd be like, ooh, you'll walk up and hug a homeless man. Hey, that's what soap and water is for. Because, see, if I'm demonstrating love through the power of the Holy Ghost, I'm not worried about anything happening to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in all the years I've been dealing with the homeless, nothing has ever happened to me by the grace of God. But that's
God,
because
right.
I believe my God. I believe when I'm being obedient to His word, there is nothing man can do unto me. When I'm going out there with the mindset of love and the heart set of love, only to demonstrate love with no other agenda. But to glorify God in all that you and all of that of it and all that of your doing, do it to the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
Then I know my Father is with me.
Amen.
All right, I'm a hush now, sister, because you know, so you can close your program.
That was good.
You got me wound up. Y'all got me wound up in here. I'm sorry, Father.
I think that you don't have to apologize because I think the way that it came out. That was an impartation, which you really were. Definitely, we need all the passion. We got passion for everything but the right thing. So I need to hear that kind of fervor for just serving, how we serve and leading with love. And like you were saying, He loved us when we weren't lovable. He will strengthen us and teaches us how to love others, even if they will not return the love. It had nothing to do with that. And so we just wanted to make this session practical and something that you can chew on for the rest of the week or month or however God is leading you tonight. And I'm going to end with prayer because we are talking about love deterrence. And all of us have different experiences and have a great, I think, expansive knowledge and wisdom to apply as leaders and co-leaders together every day, from our family to those in the body of Christ. And those who are outside the
Amen.
Body of Christ, and even
right.
more so. So, in the weeks to come, I will be teaching about rejection and pride and unforgiveness. I'm gonna. I can't take the top 10. Can't take the top 10. But I want to. I just want to. I believe God to speak specifically about these issues in 2021. And,
Amen.
And of course, bring some relevancy to the word, to ground it and everything else. And just pray for me through this whole series because it has been changing my life. I thank God for that. It has changed my
Amen.
Life. I say when I'm on air and I'm crying and stuff, that's something that is not scripted. And so I thank God
that's
that He's
real.
Penetrating. He's penetrating those hard places, you know, in my
yes,
heart.
Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
And that in itself, the word cuts coming and going, and I thank God
yes,
for this ministry to teach this. So
Amen.
I'm just only looking forward to what He has to bring. So I'm going to close with prayer, but thank you, God, today for your love and kindness and your tender mercy. Thank you, Father, today for this word. For the things that you are continually saying and the sharing and the caring and the transparency
yes.
that was on tonight, the things that you will sit in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, today for this ministry. You hovering, not just hovering, but you're an intricate part of everything that Bishop Cook has done and is doing and the things that she prays for us and the things that we in our love walk towards her, towards others, towards ourselves and towards you first and foremost,
yes,
Father
Lord.
God. Thank you, Lord, today for miracles, signs, and wonders as it pertains to this subject. that we can testify. Maybe the last week, Lord, I will begin to testify, and others will be able to testify about how your love and for others and for ourselves is changing things already in 2021 in March. So I just thank you for this, Lord, in your precious name, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You've been listening to our phenomenal, awesome sister, Prophetess Vanessa Carver. Hallelujah. And she has been talking about, she has had us up in here talking about love deterrence. So we just want to thank everybody for listening. We praise God for you, and we pray that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our household to your household is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night. God bless you. And thank you so much, Prophetess Carver. We love you, darling.
Thank
we
you.
Love you.
Thank you. Love you too. Thank
Amen.
You, everyone.
Good
for
night, everybody. Thank
bless.
You.
Bless
thank you.
Bless.
Thank you, Deacon. Thank you, Evangelist.
Good night.
Good night.